Ducklings consume water quickly. They drink it, and they splash in it while they play. To make sure they have enough, we got one of those jars that fastens to a pan that you fill and then turn upside down fast, the kind that always seems to make a mess. But still, every morning the water is empty and the ducklings pant. This morning we were still keeping them in the garage in a hutch, and before I left at about 5:45 to go to church to cook breakfast for the after sunrise service meal, I rolled the door open to refill their water. This startled the ducklings, who had been huddled together in the corner sharing warmth. They turned from a fuzzy clump of yellow and brown to a wriggling mass of quackiness. In the melee, one of the yellow ducks stepped over one of the brown ones. Tripped over it, really. The brown one was knocked into another duck and ended up overturned. It was overturned with its head and neck underneath it. Neck folded completely back. Straight back. Its legs ran in the air for a few seconds, then slowed, and with a few jolting last steps, stopped. Its webbed feet curled up. The others were now on a noisy pile on the other side of the hutch. This one, though, was silent, motionless, upside down, and to all appearances, headless. I had told the boys to expect such things. Well, not specifically to expect ducks to crash into each other, flip over like stuck turtles, and give a final wriggle. But I told them that while we started out with 6, there were innumerable hazards, from cats and dogs, both wild and domestic, to possums and raccoons. Yet having made it 1.5 weeks with no losses, they've become disbelieving. Now it appeared, though, that we were down to 5. The result of the most freakish sort of duck accident I could imagine. It was a reminder of how solid and hard the world is in its whole, and yet how delicate and tenuous are the parts that make it so. I reached down to take the fallen duck out of the hutch. I bent over for its brown body, and as I grasped for it, I knew it would feel warm like something alive and yet would be motionless. Why is it that I have no trepidation about catching a duckling that waddles, quacks, and tries to wriggle away, and yet must force myself to put my hand around the same animal just seconds later when life is gone? I wanted a glove or a tool, as if when life left, it had been transformed into something else. It was a dirty, feathered skin sack of guts. I reached for it, thinking not that I was grabbing a duckling, but that I was grabbing a dead duckling. Why did I now not want to lay hold of it? I had seen the sorrow that is death. I didn't want to touch that sorrow. Seeing it was too close already. I didn't want the greater sorrow of feeling it in my hand. This is the power of death. But it's really not. This is the power of life. It wasn't death that transformed the body of this thing into something I didn't want close to me. It was instead life that had transformed something I would not want to hold into something cute and warm and pleasant. That's the power of life. I know that you do not like these kinds of stories. I know that you don't like them at all, and you'd rather hear of ducklings' antics tripping over each other without the part about how it ended. Yet you have not yet heard how it ended, because you have not yet heard my hand make contact with a duck. My hand, of course, did not make any noise to hear, but the touch of my hand, starting to turn the duckling over with a nudge, caused it to thrash, and in the thrashing, it popped its head from beneath its body, righted itself, stood on its feet, and joined its fellows. And all of the sudden, what had been a lesson in the delicacy of life became a lesson in the resiliency. It became a lesson also in the power of touch. The duckling had pinned its own head and was held by its own weight, stuck. Stuck it would have been until death. My nudge was nothing to me. Nothing, that is, but overcoming my aversion to touching something dead, my aversion to sharing in the sorrow. The nudge was nothing to me, but it was everything to the duckling. It was the gentlest of contact, but it was life-saving.